good morning, everybody. Good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you're listening to us from. Welcome to yet another exciting episode in our channel, Digital Parenting with Evelyn Kasina. I am your host. And today I have a very interesting and exciting guest with me, fellow Kenyan outside of the country. And we are going to talk about these things that we are so passionate about, parenting in different setups. And today we are talking to a stepmom. She is Kenyan, as I said, and I'm very interested to just hear how she has navigated this space. She will introduce herself to us, but just to give you a small background of herself, she is a mother of four, I believe, and she is in Denmark married by a Danish guy, and she loves interior design. She's an interior designer by profession. She is a part-time stay-at-home mom, so she will explain to us what that means. She is also a student, and she runs an event management and decor business. So this is a very, very, a hard-working, busy mom in all this pandemic, you know, in all this pandemic situation. She's busy doing so many things. She's a student like me, so I'm so happy that finally I have found a part-time stay-at-home mom who is working and then a student as well. So, karibu sana, Emily. I hope you have not forgotten your Swahili.
Asante sana. No way. I cannot forget it. Sisi sao Kiswahili, you know, as much as we don't speak it so much here, but aizi potea. Mwazo mi nakutoka Mombasa. Born and brought up in Mombasa. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me in your space, Evelyn Kasina. It's a pleasure. Yes, I'm a Kenyan, as you've said, from Mombasa. I'm actually a Meruan. I'm from Meru, but I was born and brought up in Mombasa, and I love traveling, and I've been in Dubai for some years, and then I found someone in Denmark, so that's how I found myself here for the last almost 13 years now. So yeah, that's me.
Wow. This is very interesting. So born in Kenya, from Meru, but born and raised in Mombasa, worked in Dubai, settled in Denmark. So you are actually...
Actually, I schooled in Uganda, high school. So I've been everywhere.
You are officially a global citizen. You are officially a global... And the fact that you spend a lot of time on the internet, you are indeed a global citizen. So thank you so much for taking your time to be with us. And I would just want to start by asking you, tell us how you found yourself in this blended family, and how has your role been being a stepmom? Take us through that.
Okay, how I found myself in this blended family. Actually, this is not my first blended family. I came to Denmark with my son. I got my son when I was in college. I was at that time studying law in Nairobi, and things did not work out with my son's dad. I think I felt disappointed in both myself and him. I was not ready for a family, but I'm the one who cut off from the relationship, and it's solely been me and my son. So I moved to Denmark with my ex-husband, and he had three children too. So that was my first blended family. And again, it did not work out. I had wanted to have more children, and this is something we did not discuss with him. So for my point of view, I did not see any reason to stay in that marriage where I was not happy and not getting what I wanted. There was also a bit of emotional abuse. And then I decided to leave, and I met my current husband, who is a father of three children biologically. Before the ones we've gotten with him. Oh my God. I call him Father Abraham because he has many children. He has three children, two daughters who are in their late 20 and one mid 20 from his late wife. He lost his wife in 2001, and then he remarried and he got a son. On meeting him, so he had been divorced for a year, and my son and his son are the same age. His son is 16 now and my son is 15 years. So when we met, my son was barely 4 years. And so we created this family of my son and his son and the two of us. And we were blessed with twins. So we now have 4 children living with us. And all together we have 8 children, because he had adopted 2 boys before. And he's still part of their life, and he's still part of their daughters. Once in a while, we see them. So, but basically in our home state right now, we are a blended family of 2 parents and 4 children. And I'm enjoying it.
Wow. Well, you are a mother of 8 in total. And yes, as you called him Father Abraham, if you saw part of my podcast, we did have a Father Abraham as well interviewed here. And it was such an enlightening moment to just even see that there are people who, yes, as much as relationships would break for one reason or the other, or fall out, yes, for one reason or the other, the one significant thing is that you still are a part of your children's lives. You want to be able to interact with them, see how they grow and meet their milestones. And I'm congratulating you for actually even just accepting his children and raising his children together with you. So that is just, out of my heart, I'm commending you and congratulations. And thank you for being that person and showing people that it's actually possible. So tell us, because I've realized you are married to a Danish person. You live in Denmark.
Yes.
How has the culture come up? Because it seems you are in a blended culture. You are in, are you in a blended religion as well? I would love to hear that from you. Tell us, how is that?
Wow, that's quite interesting. Yes, it is a blended culture. First and foremost, being African and him Danish, and also the fact that his son is he's half African and Danish, but he's not from Kenya, so he's from Burundi. So you can see we have so many languages to deal with. My son Kip is he's half Kenyan and Ugandan, and Kale, so, and Meru. So we have all these languages to deal with. So we speak mainly English and Danish, and Danes generally come across as antisocial people, but they're not. You just need to approach them. They don't approach you. They will never approach you. So you have to make the move to approach them, and once you approach them, they open up. So it's been quite a journey to blend into that culture where people mind their own business, as opposed to Africa, where, you know, you meet someone in the morning on the streets, abariako, you know, you always talking to your neighbors, you interact with your neighbors. I've lived in this area for 12 years, and I don't know how the front door of my neighbor looks like. It is that bad. We don't interact. People mind their own business. So that to me was a bit hard, and I felt so lonesome for the first few years. And it was my husband who would try and get me comfortable whenever he'd drive around and see an African, and he would like ask them for their number and come home and like, I met this African at the supermarket, maybe you can call them and, you know, and find out if you can be friends. Or he really felt I was lonely. Yeah. I'm a supermarket, I want him to miss mama, a lady or man, he'll take a photo and send me, do you know her, should I approach her?
<You know>? Wow.
Yeah, he really tried to get me integrated, you know, and feel comfortable. And then religion, he's a Catholic. He was raised as a Catholic, but generally Danes are, most of them are atheists. And it's not because they don't know about God, because when you look around, there's so many churches and very nice big churches. And so I think at some point they believed in religion, but maybe because their standards in church are still the old systems and old songs, so people are not encouraged to go to church. I mean, the young people, they find it boring. And I've had a hard time to find a church to call home, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was in Kenya, I used to go to Crossroads in Mombasa, and in Nairobi, I used to go to Nairobi Baptist, and those are lively churches, you know. So when I came here, first the sermons are in Danish, which is a very, very difficult language. I think whoever came up with that language was drunk at the point of it. Because it's just the hardest language, I think, in the world. They say it too, you know, it's a very hard language. And so you can imagine sitting through a sermon, like in a language you don't understand, and then they don't sing and dance in church. They actually sing when seated. So, and it's the old Kitambo hymns, 16th century, a very hard Danish language is used in those hymns. So it's really been hard to find a place where I can feel at home and also bring up my kids into a Christian environment. And then they don't believe in God so much, I think, because, you know, the government is well taken care of its citizen, and they don't feel, that's my point of view, I think they don't feel the need of kuomba. Aona shida nyingi, you know. Where we come from, utakuwa na mtu mgonjwa, ama you lacking funds, we have reason to go on our knees. Mm-hmm. So much. We have poverty, we have corruption to deal with. But life here is a bit different. Systems work. You get sick, you go to hospital, it's free. Everything is taken care of. So they are not pushed to go down on their knees. That's what I think, and that's what my mom thought when she visits. So that's how it has been, and it has a bit affected my parenting, because at times I was brought up in a Christian home, and my dad was a church leader and still is. And you know, you want to instill those values from back home and Christian values, but you have no backup.
Yeah.
You know, as much as my husband is Catholic raised, he does not go to church. You know, he believes there is a God, but he has no, should I say, faith? Yeah, he believes there is a God, there is a higher power, but he's not the kind you'll find. He believes things won't happen this way unless you pray, or, you know, you have to take a moment and pray so that you communicate with God about whatever issues you may be going through. So it's been difficult in that perspective, but I do try and instill other values that we got from home, you know, in best way possible. And my sister, I have a sister who is very vocal about children welfare and teenagehood. So she plans some programs for our kids, all our kids with my other sisters, and she does some teaching with them, you know, about teenagehood and when the girls are turning into teenagehood. So I'm happy to have her around. Yeah, so that's how it has been.
Yeah, it's very interesting you bring now the concept of also having a sister who is being proactive in creating some spaces for learning for your children. So my next question here will be, who is that ecosystem for you? Because you're living in a foreign country. If you don't, you know, like, have interaction with your neighbors, how have you created an ecosystem for yourself and for your children as well? And how are you using technology then to be able to leverage on the connectivity within family and friends? Do you feel that what your sister has done, which I believe is commendable, do you feel like it has strengthened your relationships at home?
Well, as for my ecosystem, it's first and foremost, to get real genuine friendships here in Denmark is difficult from within the Kenyan community. it's a bit difficult to get very genuine friendships. I've had friends and have still a few. My main ecosystem here would be the fact that we have some Kenyan groups on social media. We have a group called Kenyans in Denmark, and we have Kenyan Women in Diaspora, where we come together and, you know, when people have problems or even during the good times, we try and be there for one another. And then again, I'll go back to my husband has been my strongest support system when it comes to integrating in Denmark. Then I have an auntie, actually. She lives in Denmark. She's been here for over 30 years. She's Danish, basically. And she's my to-go-to person and her son. So I'm happy for that. And then I have my sister, Evelyn, who is also a very fundamental person in my life in diaspora. She actually moved to diaspora so long ago, but she understood how it has been for me and how it must be for my children, especially my sons go to a very Danish school, and the twins go to an international school, but her kids go to an international school, so it's been easy for them to kind of adapt, as opposed to when he moved here, it was very difficult. So she's been very fundamental in bringing these children together, the cousins, that's my children and her kids, and my other sister's kids in the US and my sister in Kenya. So she brings them together. They have a WhatsApp group, and she creates lessons on monthly basis, and every weekend they have to meet on Zoom and do a reflection on the previous lessons they've had. We also have a very strong family meeting between my sisters and my parents who are in Kenya. We have Zoom every Sunday evening for like 4 hours straight up. And it's kind of difficult at times because of the time difference, you know, US, Kenya, and Denmark and Swiss. But having these programs like WhatsApp and Zoom has really played an important role in keeping us together as a family. You know, you can imagine the times when there was no mobile phones at all. I wonder how people who lived in diaspora back then, how they kept in touch. You know, there was no FaceTiming or video calls. So the fact that we have WhatsApp and, you know, you can video call as you multitask, it's quite nice to see my sisters almost daily and see my parents, and we feel we are together. It's just a distance, you know, but we feel we are close, and we are actually a very close knit family, and we are happy that the distance has not really affected our relationships. So yeah, technology has played a good part of mending our relationships.
Yeah. I really love that. And I remember yesterday you saying that your kids even look forward to these family meetings. They even call your mom and your dad, Shosho and Guka. For me, that sounded really, you're bringing in these different cultures and ensuring that the children are not getting lost within a bubble space that does not exist. So I really feel like you are intentionally being that African mother, even as you're seeing how technology and, you know, modernization is coming through and affecting the fabrics of our families. I really do commend you for that, because that for me really resonated in the fact that my own children, by the way, they cannot sleep without calling Shosho and Babu and asking about their chickens and their goats and praying together. So I know the fact that because of this virus, even for us who are here, that we could just go for a, you know, a 2-hour drive and see our parents back in the village, it's been difficult, because part of showing them care and love at this moment is not being near them, because they're most vulnerable. So it is really good for me to see that even with the time differences, with the space and the distance, you're still using technology in this sense to strengthen your relationships. And I commend your sister Eve for also just being that intentional person on creating classes for your children to be able to learn different things. So so you have teenage boys, right?
Yes.
And then you have preteen girls.
Oh my God.
First and foremost, paint for me the sibling influence and interaction within your space. And then also tell me how you have managed their online relationships and their screen time. Because unlike us here, I know you people have exposure to way much technology than we do.
Oh, yes. We kids are exposed to technology here way younger. I mean, actually, the daughters are asking, "Mom, when are we getting our own phones? I want an iPhone 11." And I'm looking at my friend, "You're only 7. When did you start knowing there's iPhone 11 and, you know, whatnot?" They are exposed to technology at a very young age. I remember when we came to Denmark, actually it was all shocking for me, you know, as much as I traveled and lived in other countries, but it was all shocking for me when my son was 5 and they gave him an iPad in school. Mm-hmm. And then when he was 8, they gave him a Pro book, and now this year they have given them a MacBook. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's part of learning, and they are encouraged to learn through tech from a very early age. But it's been also a challenge, you know, when they're getting used to screen time and all this technology. It's challenging when you have to tell them, okay, now you only have 2 hours today of screen time. And also, their dad is a big fan of gaming, so it's quite a battle when you have one parent who has always been gaming, and actually he games to a point of he goes for championships.
Wow.
So that is his me time, you know. He's a very hard working person and very workaholic, but when he gets his free time, he would rather be with family or play. You know, he's not, he used to go hunting before, but he's more into either play or spend time with family. So that is his me time, you know, and I try not to cut it off. But we also try to make sure that the boys, especially the boys, because they are also gamers, but they don't think life is all about gaming, you know. So sometimes I find my son, he's in class, especially now with this corona, they've been doing virtual classes. So in between the breaks, you know, like the kawaida break they would have had in school. Eh? Mm-hmm. So instead of going to play outside or, you know, take a break and have a piece of bread or, you know, just do something else, he would put his MacBook down and turn into PS5 and start playing, or Xbox, you know. And I'm trying to tell him, you cannot play in between your breaks, because it takes a while before your brain, you know, goes back to the class, you know, the time you were studying. Mm-hmm. And then you shift to playing, and to go back again to studying, it's not gonna be easy for you. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to reduce the playing a lot. And when they have, you know, failed on something, or they're not listening, you know, teenagers, our skis as in Guinea. Mm-hmm. I try to, because you're not allowed to chapa here. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't chapa my kids, actually. I've never chapped my kids. It's illegal to beat kids. It's illegal to shout at kids. So I normally take the privileges away. So if you've been misbehaving these couple of times, then no more Xbox for the next week, or no more PlayStation, you know. That's how I'm trying to control the, you know, the overly use of technology, because you realize, as much as we protect the internet and we control what they stream, people are very clever and malicious out there. You see, like when I was in Kenya last year, and I had a Kenyan phone, then I brought it with me. And because the girls have been asking for a phone and they like communicating with my sister and the video chatting, and it's always been with my phone. So I just told them, okay, you can use this phone to call your auntie Evelyn and, you know, video chat with her. But last weekend, we took the phone and my son was like, Mom, my stepson actually, he's like, Mom, can you see what's on this phone? And I could not believe it. There were people sending porn videos.
Wow. How did that make you feel as a parent?
I was so shocked. I was so disturbed because I don't know for how long this has been going on. And then at times I'm not with that phone. It's a Kenyan phone. It still has a Kenyan number. And it was my first time actually to have a Kenyan number here in Denmark, because I just thought, oh, maybe I could be using it for M-Pesa, because whenever I'm trying to do transactions, I have to use WorldRemit. And if I'm sending to a couple of people, then it's quite expensive. So I was like, ah, why not have a Kenyan number where then we can use it for transacting? And I was so shocked to see the content that my seven-year-old girls could have been seeing. Mm-hmm. And I was worried, what if someone is watching them, you know? What if when they're having this phone in the bedroom, and I mean, if our porn site can come and actually it seemed like a chat, eh?
Yeah.
It seemed like a chat, and they were sending nudes. The other people, the outsiders, were sending nudes to that phone. I was really scared. So what we did, we took the phone and we blocked everything that was coming from outside, and also we changed our internet, and we only turn on the internet when they want to talk to their sister.
Uh-huh.
If they're not talking to their sister, first of all, they'll not have the phone. Mm-hmm. And there'll be no internet on their phone or iPads. Another thing I've done with their iPads, I've taped the camera part.
Mm-hmm.
With a black tape.
So
just in case there's someone watching or someone video calls them and they don't know. So, and their iPads don't have a SIM card on intention.
Yeah.
So there'll be no, you want to call, you have to ask me, you want to call, then I will turn on the internet for you to WhatsApp, you know. So there's no calling using the iPad. So they only use it for playing games or YouTube. I have a daughter who loves cooking, so she's always watching video tutorials on cooking. And it's all about trying to control. And it is difficult, especially when you feel you don't want to cross that boundary of you're being too hard on your child, and then you risk losing your child to the system. Because when you're too hard to your child, the system just comes, picks your child away from your home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so as parents, you and I know that we don't live in vacuums where rules don't exist.
Yes.
We have created some rules and some boundaries. And yes, children are known to be those people who push to see where the limit is. So
exactly.
I'm curious, especially when, you know, when children don't understand why you have put rules. Personally, I know very many parents I speak to, and especially kids, when I ask them, so when these rules are being put, do you know why? And they're like, no, but mommy just says it's because I am your mother and you live in my house. And you know, and I think the way we also communicate with our kids is stop doing that. When you say stop, they just want to do exactly what you're telling them not to do. So have you created some rules or boundaries that are constantly being challenged? Have you done that?
Yes, I have. Mostly the TV time is always challenged, and the gaming with the boys.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you manage, especially because I know another disadvantage you have is that you don't use the Mwiko. We are still allowed to use a Mwiko here and there. because we were beaten, and I know we say, I mean, it chapwa too, and I turned out how I turned out. Maybe we say good.
Yeah.
I don't know, that is debatable. But since you can't chapa your child, your defense is withdrawing. And one of the things I also know is that you're not the only person who has access to your child. So if maybe they go to school, they will still probably play a game, or they'll have access to a phone or stuff like that. So when these rules are being challenged, as a mother, how has it been? And especially now with probably your stepson, who you're also, as you said, you do not want to be very tough. You don't want to be very hard on them, all the children especially. But specifically with like your stepson, how have you managed this situation?
Well, when it comes to disciplining my stepson, it's quite a sensitive situation. First and foremost, when they were quite young, both my sons were quite young, I tried to bring them up in a way they did not feel, this is not my mom and this is not my dad. You know, I love them all equally and all four. Actually, my daughters just found out like 2 years ago that is their stepbrother. They thought we had one mom, one dad. And when it comes to disciplining, I try to create the same rules for everyone equally. But it is challenging when it's him, because now he's got into an age where he understands, you know, he understands what it is to have a stepmom. And I would not want him to label me as the bad stepmom. So what happens when I feel he is not doing what I ask him to do, or he is straying away from the family guidelines, I forward it to the dad to tell him. And this is quite funny, because when it comes to my son, my husband doesn't have to tell me anything. He would just go direct to Kip, and like, Kip, why did you do that, you know? And when it comes to me and Lucas, now his son, I try and go through him, and he's like, why do you have to come through me? You can just tell Lucas direct. And I try to, but there's just some sort of, you know, insecurity in doing it, because you don't want at the same time to look bad. But then I try and tell him, you know, it's because it's out of love that I'm doing this, or you're gonna be out there. There's a time I really had a candid talk with him, and I told him, you know, Lucas, one day you'll be out there on your own, and you'll realize, oh, mom used to tell me to do this and this and this. So this is why, because now you're stuck there alone. You have to figure out things. You have to figure out how to do your laundry, how to cook, But because here they're not, you know, getting, there's a time I'll tell my husband, oh, I think now the boys should start cooking small meals. They're like, no. You want to get in trouble. Here, children are supposed to be children. I was like, okay, so when do children start learning how to cook here, you know? Or when do the children, how do they learn? But it's so funny, because my husband came from a very strict family. And by the time he was 16, he had moved out and paying his own rent and working full time. So I asked him, why are you not doing the same way you did it with your parents? I mean, your parents did it to you, and you see how you've turned out so self-reliant at an early age. So why don't you do the same thing with the boys? And he was like, back then, it was also legal for them to be beaten or to be, you know, be talked to with harsh tones, you know, and there was no choice. And the mom actually got him to leave home to go find a job. She found a job for him by force, by fire, you know. So she's like, if it was not for my mom, maybe I wouldn't have turned that way, you know. So I was like, okay, then we can try and navigate this, and we don't have to be the harsh parents like our parents, but we have to find a way to make them, you know, you're supposed to do this. If I tell you to do this, you should do that at that time. Seek or postpone. My son Kip is very good at procrastinating. He loves procrastinating a lot, and I try to tell him, if you do it earlier, you have chances to have free time to play later on, you know. If you postpone now and you deal dull and you're just chilling in bed, then you realize at the end of the day, you're rushing. Sasa kumaliza kitu ucheze kidogo before mom says it's bedtime. So it's quite a challenge. But at the same time, I think when I compare with Danish children who come from a typically Danish family, I think I have very, very disciplined children, because there are people who come to my place and they're like, how do you have four children and have a very clean home, you know, how can you do that? And I'm like, it's all about boundaries, you know.
Yeah.
Boundaries, children have to respect boundaries, come what may. You have to put your foot down. So I try and put my foot down and tell them, you know, this area is for eating. This is where we have eating time and enjoy your meal. You know, you cannot just come here with phone and iPads and you're trying to eat, ama, with toys. You know, respect that space there. It's time to eat. If you're in the living room as a family and we're watching a movie, it's our time to enjoy each other. We focus on the movie and our company, you know. See, unakuja hapo na toy. The girls come there with their Barbie dolls, and you know, this is a living room area where people sit and enjoy each other. You give time to one another, but if you want to play, you can play in your room, you know. And I think it's respectful if we're gonna sit here and watch a movie or just chill with friends and visitors and you're playing, it's like they're not important to you. So if you want to play, you play in your room. When it's time to chill in the living room, it's time for us. So I've tried to create those clear boundaries, and when they're challenged, then I go back to withdrawal system. And the dad has a high tone voice, so wanamogopa sana. When they hear, okay, I will tell Fa is dad. I'm going to tell Fa. They're like, okay, mom, I'll do it. You know, and probably that helps a little. You know, and they really, really respect and admire him at the same time, because my son is like, sometimes I look at dad how he works, and I tell him, yeah, it doesn't come easy, you know. You have to prioritize. So screen time, come on, nesemani, 2 hours, let it be 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So I know there are people out here who are wondering, okay, so I'm a stepmom, also just navigating this space of creating, you know, relationships with my stepchildren and how we can blend with our own biological children. So yeah. What message do you have for a stepmother listening to us on how to bond, how to create time? And also, because I'm also learning from you that you're using technology also to strengthen bonds. How can they use technology? Because I know very many parents, sometimes we bribe our children with either extra screen time, with a new phone, with a new PS game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What encouragement would you have for that stepmother who's listening to us today?
One thing we have to know as a mother, that child, whether it's your stepchild or your own child, the children did not ask to be in that situation of having a stepmother or having a stepdad. But being a stepmom, you have to remember very well that what if that child, the stepchild you have, what if that was a situation with your own child? How would you want a stepmom to treat your child? Just imagine if you were gone or your relationship didn't work out and your husband got another wife. How would you want the new wife to treat your children? Would you be happy if they mistreated them or treated them indifferent? So that's how I try my best to see that I love him as my own. And as much as I say that, it's not easy. It's not easy to, because it's not biological, you know? So it's something you have to tell your mind, and it has to come from the heart. If you're not ready to be a step parent, don't do it. Hakuna haja utese mtoto wa watu, you know, that's what I always tell people. If you know someone has a child and you are not ready for it, or you will not love that child as much as possible as your own, please don't do it. Because, you know, I believe in fate, and I believe nothing goes unseen, you know. So even if you put a face up front and pretend you love the child, alafu kwandani you hate the child, or you're mistreating the child when the parent, the biological parent, is not there, these things don't go unseen, or they don't go unpunished, you know. So I am a strong believer of just do it right, as if it was your own. And I try to show Lucas that I'm not your mom, and I'm not here to replace your mom. I will never replace your mom whatsoever. So, but I'm here to support you grow well and be happy. And also tell him, imagine you're so lucky. This is how I make him realize, like, it's it's a good thing to have two parents. Actually, imagine you're so lucky. You have two bonus moms, you know. You have me and your mom, and you have your dad. Some kids have only one single parent. You have three, you know, so I try to put it that way. And also you have a larger family, and I appreciate Lucas because he loves a family moment, and he has really loved my family. Like I told you, he calls my parents Babu Nyanya, you know, like Nikama Niwa Wanamjua, you know. And my parents have embraced him like his own. So I tried to create a good relationship between me and him by bringing him close to my family and spending time with him. And simple things like shopping, you know, when I go shopping, I know it's my son who needs a pair of jeans, but I will not come back without something else for Lucas. You get, so that it's not like, eh, huyu mtoto ndo huwa ananunuliwa peke yake, huyu mwingine ananunuliwa. So I would come with something else, maybe a packet of underwear or a t-shirt, you know. There's a time actually I used to dress them the same way, and people used to think they are twins, but moja tu ni vile tu ako na nimzuku, nimzungu na, but I used to dress them the same at a certain age. And and when we went shopping, I shopped equally. So he felt this one really, really cares for me as much as he cares for the other kids. And then I tried to, because he also loves gaming. And that is a space I'm trying so hard not to push him away from, because he's also good at what he does. He does professional boxing and he's good at it. When he has to execute something, he will execute it well, apart from a few things which we are struggling. But in general, trying to show him that you are also part of me. You know, we might not have the same blood or biological facts, but we are one, we are one, we are family. And also I try to teach the other kids that, in fact, Lucas, that there's a time Lucas used to ask, who is your father? Babako ni nani? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's because of exposure. He knew better that this is my dad, but he cannot be Kip's dad, you know, first from this skin color and all that. And of course, he didn't see the dad bringing a child home. So he used to ask that, but Kip was also smart. Kip would answer, my dad is your dad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, who is your dad? Nani alikuza? Who is your dad? Like, who is your dad from Kenya? And Kip would be like, my dad is your dad. And that's, I think, you know, Mungu hawezi kupatia kitu hawezi handle, because Kip has never asked me about his dad. Never.
Okay.
He's never asked me about his dad. He's never said, even when I introduced him to my ex, the next day he was just calling him dad. And when I met my current husband, he just called him dad. It just flowed. And I think it's because in his life, he's never missed a father figure. Mm-hmm. He had my brothers-in-laws. He has called my brother-in-law's dad. At one point, he called my own dad before he got to know he's a babu. Mm-hmm. He would call him daddy. So he's had father figures in his life. And I thank God for that, because he knows what a man is in a family setup. So he knows a man is to be a father. A man is he's a protector, he's the head, he's the provider. So he's never thought, oh, how come my dad is white and black? And then I had to tell Lucas, you know what? A father is someone who is there for you. A father is one who provides and protects you and guides you. It doesn't matter about who has given birth to you or who has raised you. Just as long as someone is out there and loving you equally as their own child, that is a parent. So that's how I try to create this bond family to work. It's not about who ni babako, who ni mamako. The twins, like I said, the twins, they just discovered not long ago that Lucas is not my real son, because now they started noticing, some weekends, huyu brother tu anaenda wapi? you know. Uh-huh. And then they noticed that there's a woman who drops him. I'm dropping him to another woman's house. And I say hi to your mom, you know. And they're like, oh, is that Lucas's mom? Oh, this is Lucas's mom. So then they realized, okay, we have two. Lucas has two moms. That's what they see, you know. And they've not questioned how come Lucas has two moms. They have one mom. No, they've not. Wow. Because I try to so much to make it a unity, and together with my husband, and even with the other children that have moved out of home, you know, I'm always trying to pull them back in. They have some differences. The daughters have some differences with their dad, but at the end of the day, children are children. They never asked for a parent to pass away. They never asked for parents to divorce, you know? Mm-hmm. So, if you're gonna be a stepmom, do it with one whole heart.
Yeah.
And there are so many blessings that come along with being a stepmom. I think also I generally love children. If I could, I would be having two more right now. But
it's never too late. I mean, you still can.
No, I cannot. I don't have the oven. Okay. I didn't tell you this.
All right.
Yeah. I don't. Everything got removed here. I had a complex pregnancy with the twins, and I didn't know I was not well. And I tried to get back into my career life, but things are not going well. I had a long periods of bleeding, and then I had some tumor. Mm-hmm. On my cervix. So, and this is something I'm also very vocal about, women health and maternal health care, because when I compare how it is here and in Kenya, I think women are really taken care of here and children. So 2 years ago, I had everything removed, uterus, cervix, fallopian tubes. So yeah, you cannot have children, but I'm happy and I'm blessed to have all these bonus children with me, you know.
You are a mother of eight.
Yeah, you know, and three grandchildren. So,
yes, you are a grandmama. Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
So I think, you know, God prepares things in advance. Maybe Alijah at one point, oh, this one loves kids and she will not be. So I have all these bonus children around me, and yeah, so I'm blessed and happy. Yeah,
absolutely. So if you are stepmother, you're a single mother as well. I think you've had it. You've had it that if you were to get into a relationship which is blended, just do it from a place of love. It is not easy. Ems has told us it is not easy, but I think as much as we would think about that child, if it were your own, you would really, really want to pour a lot of love and understanding and care the same way you do to your own children. So, Emily, we have something in our podcast that we call Quick Fire.
Okay.
And these are questions which I do not want you to overthink. Whatever comes to mind, just answer. Let's have a ball with it. They're not very tough questions, but I'm really hoping Team Kenya will win here. All right? So quick fire.
Okay.
Number one, Kenyan food or Danish? Which takes preference?
Oof. Danish.
Danish. All right. Summer or winter? Which is your best weather?
Oh, summer.
Why?
I think it has to do with having been brought up in Mombasa, you know,
yes.
Those hot temperatures, and then nikaenda Dubai, nikujoto, and then you come here where sometimes we go minus 20 and it's all dark. There are times we have only 3 hours of daylight, you know. In winter, I get depression. Winter, it's called winter depression, where I don't want curtains opened up. I don't want to leave the house. So it's affected my physical going to school, actually. So I used to take a break during winter and not go to school, to the university, and be home. And but after the operation, the one I had 2 years ago, I think generally my body is at a better place. And this winter, I've really enjoyed the outdoors a bit, and it's been actually a very harsh winter, but I've kind of enjoyed it better than all the other winters I've had for the last 12 years. But I'm a very summer person. It's beautiful. It's Denmark is so beautiful in summer. Mm-hmm. And you're outdoors, but it's also annoying in the night because it's quite bright.
And hot, I'm believing.
Yes, and usiku hakuna giza inaingia saa nane usiku, saa kumi kushakuwa mwangaza. You know, you have only 2 hours of darkness.
Wow.
So it can be a quite disorienting moment, but it's summer anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you rather have one passion or 5 hobbies?
I think 5 hobbies.
So name for us your 5 hobbies that you really want to just spend your time doing.
Reading autobiographies, swimming, painting houses, mm-hmm. Decorating, mm-hmm. and eating chapatis.
Do you cook chapatis?
Oh my God, that's going to be embarrassing. Actually, can we go back to the Danish food?
Danish food.
The Danish food, it's because I think I don't hate Kenyan food. I love Kenyan food. I miss chapati so much. I love chapatis, but I've never learned how to cook chapatis until I came to Denmark, where I realized I have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a struggle. The other day, my sister Evelyn had to send me chapatis from Swiss because I was missing chapatis, so she had to go and ship them by post. The reason I said Danish food is because it's my husband who does the cooking, and I've gotten used to it. He cooks all year round. I mean, I cook only when he's very, very sick or he's out of the country. And even when he's out of the country, he will cook, he will leave when he has cooked a few meals for some days, because, and then somehow I became, you know, they say practice makes it perfect. So I think somehow I used to cook a lot. I mean, from Mombasa, we cook pilau and all those mapocho pocho. But because I've not been doing it every other day, you know, then I think I've just gotten adapted to Danish food, and yeah, and we eat a lot of Danish food here than Kenyan. The only thing he loves about Kenyan is samosas.
Who doesn't love samosas?
Yeah.
Empty pleasures.
And my mom's boozy fry. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, yeah. So we have a hard time when we come to Kenya with food.
Well, you just say, you know, whatever the holidays, the calories are for who? That's what I keep asking. Just,
yeah.
And, you know, you live once, yeah? Those are the times you keep, you know, comforting yourself with
this. Yes.
So, I mean, I want you to give us your parting shot. As we are just about to finish, tell us what inspires you to stay happy, because I did hear you say that you're very specific with your happiness, your mental health. Tell us what keeps you positive, what keeps you motivated, what keeps you happy, and what your last words will be.
What keeps me motivated and maybe wake up every day are my children and my husband. The fact that as much as it's my husband who does most of the things around, I am motivated to be there for them too. You know, I don't just, I feel like I need to wake up and hold this family and get this family moving. And then my greatest motivation is wanting to be happy always. So the last 3 years I've been working on trying to say no to people, because I had a weakness where I could not say no to people, you know, and it's been a learning process of how to say no, how to create a wall from negativity, and that includes whatever I read also on social media, on the internet, or comments. You know, I try to, because people are going through a lot of things, and some people are always waiting for a trigger moment, you know, and just poof, unleash whatever they're feeling, you know. So I've been creating that space of, it's about my happiness. So if on day one you already show me your negativity or you're not happy about other people's success, and I will not even entertain you for 5 minutes from the time of a conversation. So that is what has really kept me going and being mentally healthy for the last few years. And prayer. I don't really pray. The people find this weird. I'm a believer and I believe in God, but I don't pray. I talk to him. I don't know if I should try and create time to pray, but I find myself having conversation with God as I do things. Me won't get to my husband, but who are you talking to? I tell him God.
That's prayer. That is prayer, actually.
Yeah, but I'm not good at sitting down. I'm gonna kneel and be here and say, okay, I talk to God as I do things. As I'm driving, me, I'm having conversation with him. As I'm doing laundry, I'm having conversation with him. As I'm in class, sometimes I get lost from what the teacher is saying, and I'm just having conversation with him. And I think to me that has really worked well, because I feel like he is there. I have someone I can tell things, and they will not go beyond him. You know, it's he is there. And my mom, talking to my mom, I have the best mom and the best dad. I'm actually a daddy's girl. My mom keeps us, every morning she will send something to us in the family group, a prayer, a motivational, quote. Those are the things that keep me going and keep me happy. And, I wake up to, mom today will write this, or my sisters will say this and that, and my husband will be here. That's what keeps me going, being away from home. Yeah.
Wow. What is your parting shot to anybody who is listening to us today?
Love and live. Spread love. Love your children. Love your family. Listen to Evelyn Cassina's podcasts on cybersecurity and children. People are missing out if they're not listening to you, Evelyn. You have very quite mind-opening podcast about how to bring up children in this technology world. Technology is really taking up so much of our space. And I told you the other day there was a documentary, an American documentary, and I didn't understand because actually I can also be addicted to phone.
Yes.
Usiku nashindwa kulala, uko tu hapo kwa Facebook, ama WhatsApp. Facebook, you're just scrolling just to see people's photos, see people's videos and all that. And they were saying these companies creating all these platforms, they are creating products that trigger our minds into addiction. And you may not know it. You may not realize it. And it really opened my mind. I'm like, yeah, sometimes I find myself atata tulizima, but me, I want to be on phone. There's that hormone that has an urge of, you have to keep going. And then I listened to your podcast and how to do control the screen time with the children. And it's quite enlightening. So my parting shot would be like, control what your children see, and listen to Evelyn Cassina's podcast, and watch her on YouTube with Caroline Mutoko. I mean, she's you are a woman ahead of time, I think.
Oh, wow.
And one who is so passionate about children development. So let's protect and love these kids of ours. Yes.
Wow, this podcast was all about you, so somehow you have managed to switch gears. So I lack words, but so guys, you have heard it from Ems. I love the fact that she's called Ems, because I have a friend I was telling her who's called Ems, and I love that nickname of Ems. I don't like being called Eve personally. I love being called Evelyn, but I like Ems for some reason. It just has some gist in it. I love the fact that you have taken time. You're 2 hours behind us. You have taken time to be here with us, to share your wisdom, to share your life with us. One of the things that I just love is that you encouraged me, even from the conversations we had yesterday, you encouraged me from being just a woman who is breaking very, very many boundaries. If you've listened to her bio, remember she is a student. she is a part-time stay-at-home mom, then she's a working mom. Then she has children in both spectrums. Imagine she has three teenagers, then she has teens. My goodness, then she's a grandmother. So I'm sure this is a new space where she's thinking, okay, so how do I deal with these small babies and stuff like that. So I hope you are encouraged when you listen to our podcast. I hope we continue to ensure that family is the focal point for everything that we do. Let us shift our mindsets from being reactive to being more proactive, because you want to be a proactive parent. I keep saying, don't just remove that fire extinguisher you have on your back, because it is weighing you down.
And yeah,
be upfront to have conversations. So Emily, thank you so much. Salimia Danish people, say hi to your family. Send our love from Kenya. I updated you this morning. It rained, but now guess what? The sun is out. It is shining.
So, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so. And I hope I'm going to be able to hear you again and again and again. And continue being a blessing to your children, who are not your children, but now are your children.
Yes, thank you so much for having me and sharing your platform with me. It's been a quiet. Actually, when we talked on Facebook the very first time, I just said, I have to listen to you. And you've added value in my life in so many ways you might not know.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to impact my children from now on. So it's my honor to be here with you. It's been a pleasure. About the Kenyan weather, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Danish weather is so kigeugeu.